how can forms of physical touch affect one's well-being?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know it's really important for mental health and well-being. Obviously, community is a huge part of what we are and who we are as humans, and touch is really important in forming those relationships that we have with people. So, for example, when mothers and babies first interact with one another, they release something called oxytocin, which helps them to form the bond between them. And without that touch, that bond is not formed as readily, and the children can have some really detrimental outcomes from that. Like, they can have developmental delays, for example, that can last a really long time. So we know that touch is important for our development and our brain development and our psychological well-being. It produces dopamine and serotonin, which are involved in pleasure and the experience of pleasure and the anticipation of pleasure and general sense of happiness and well-being. And the problems with dopamine and serotonin, for example, are also associated with mental illnesses like depression and anxiety. So essentially, touch is important across the board for us and all through different stages of life as well. So going without touch, we can expect that it's going to have a detrimental impact in one way or another.
Mm. Well, those detrimental impacts, what can happen if we lack for physical touch?
Well, I mean, look, we don't experimentally go and reduce people's touch, so it's not ethical to do that. But there have been some studies that historically and unfortunately have done that. An awful study that occurred sort of in the mid-century or a little bit beforehand was where babies were, they were fed or they were split into two groups, and they were sort of fed and taken care of and given practical needs, but they weren't cuddled, and half of the babies that weren't cuddled died, and then they called off the experiments. But I mean, obviously all of these poor children had died before that, so it was, the impacts of it were extraordinary. And obviously, and thankfully, we don't have any research like that happening anymore and have not for a long time, but I guess a study like that shows just how severe the impacts can be.
Very grim indeed.
Absolutely.
Obviously, kids that would be at home right now, newborns and the like, you know, that have been born in the midst of all this situation right now, I'm sure they're getting plenty of cuddles because there's not a lot else to do. but might there be a need to sort of think about how to make sure to improve upon their relationships with others outside the family once restrictions have eased enough that we can get back into physical touch?
Yeah, I mean, there's many ways to sort of promote our mental health and well-being. Obviously, we can sort of touch the people that we're living with and that we're in close proximity with, and I guess can try and compensate for lack of touch or a reduced touch in other areas with the people we're living with. Animals are also really good. If you don't live with someone, you can pet your animals. That has a similar effect in terms of producing oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, and improving mental health and well-being. And you can even engage in self-massage. But in terms of other ways to sort of look at promoting mental health and well-being, we know that physical activity is really helpful. We know that having good social relationships is really helpful, and that extends beyond just having physical touch. We know that diet is really important, so having a healthy diet is really helpful. Maintaining good levels of sleep, trying to manage stress so you can try things to help you cope with stress as they come up, maybe some breathing exercises, practice some mindfulness techniques. So there's a whole range of things that we can be doing to sort of promote our well-being, both when we sort of re-enter life as it was a little bit and beforehand.
Well, just perhaps as a final point on that one, going forward, as you say, restrictions are easing, but there is, you know, the thought that this could be the new normal in some ways, that in the future we are going to have to be a little bit more thoughtful and considerate of distancing with others, thinking about what we're doing around these kinds of periods where disease might be out and about. Is there a way we can make sure to ensure we are kind of making the most, I guess, of physical touch, but also keeping abreast of that sort of respectful, that respect for distancing?
Yeah, well, I would encourage you to be touching the people that you are sort of in what might be considered your infection unit, your immediate infection unit. So if you're in a household, for example, with your family and you may have children or you may have a partner or whoever it may be that's sort of in your immediate proximity, and you are able to sort of engage in touch with those people, then I would be doing that as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michaela, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on the program this morning.
No problem.